So as I said before, we are going to begin our fruitful summer with strawberries. Strawberries of love. Why strawberries? Well, because who doesn't love strawberries? Everybody loves strawberries, right? Good. I'm glad I didn't get any. I was wondering I was going to get some feedback. Some people say, I don't like strawberries. Well, you'll have to wait till next week. You'll have a different food. But also, strawberries are not just fun because they're just a wonderful, lovely thing that everybody loves, but they are also a symbol of love because they are kind of heart-shaped. So they're often used as a symbol of love. They are often given in as gifts of love from one person to another. And if you don't love strawberries, well, then you're just not eating them right. I mean, have you tried maybe dusting them with some powdered sugar and eating them on top of a waffle? I bet you love strawberry then.
We have two scriptures today. We have the first one that Eloise read from 1 John. And this scripture is a wonderful scripture, and I think that at some point we'll kind of go through the book of 1 John a little bit more in depth. But for today, I wanted to highlight the last bit of that scripture. Because John is talking about love, and he's talking about it not as a concept that, or even an emotion or a feeling. He's talking about love as action. He's saying that love is not something that we feel, it's something that we do. And I want you to keep that in mind, that love is action. And he says, look at Jesus. Jesus wasn't someone who spoke about love in a ethereal sense. He was someone who lived love, who died for love. And so we need to also give up our own lives, give up our own egos and selfishness in order to act in love. And the second scripture, which if you are anybody who's ever been to a wedding in the last 100 years, probably know this pretty well. And if you saw, well, love is on the docket today, we're probably going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. Well, you are right. We are going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, but it is not in your bulletins. It won't be up on the screen because this is a very, very new translation of 1 Corinthians 13. I just came up with it recently. And so there's been a few modifications. You might see a little bit of difference from what you're used to, but bear with me. I think that you will find that it still bears a lot of truth. Alrighty. So before I read this, I want to give you a little bit of context about 1 Corinthians and where this quote-unquote love chapter ends up in the book. So Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and they were a church that was in conflict because they believed that some people were better than others based on their status, based on what kind of spiritual gifts they had. And Paul was trying to alleviate this conflict by trying to get them all on the same page. And so the previous chapter, chapter 12, is the one where he's going through all of these different spiritual gifts and comparing them to body parts and saying, well, you can't say that this is more important than that. It's like saying the eye is more important than the hand, but if there was no eye, who could see? If there was no hand, how could we touch? These things are all important. And at the end of that chapter, he's saying, but even so, I'm going to show you an even better way of thinking. So even better than thinking that all parts are useful and good, he then goes in to talk about that we should just act in love. And so begins 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love is patient. Love waits through tantrums. Love waits in line and does not yell at someone ahead of them in line if they are taking too long or paying with a coupon. Love sits in traffic without laying on the horn. Love waits for anger to die down. Love does not interrupt. Love does not finish other people's sentences for them. unless they really need love to help. Love is what causes a mother hen to wait for her chick to peck herself out of an egg. The hen does not peck the egg out for her, nor does she pull the chick out of the egg. Because the hen knows that the struggle to get out of the egg is what makes the chick strong. It's what gives the chick her strength to be able to walk when she fully and finally emerges. The mother's hen's love allows her the patience to wait because she knows what's best. Love is kind. Love recognizes when someone is having a bad day. Love picks up soup, cold medicine, and maybe some gossip magazines and delivers them to someone who is sick. Love sees somebody drop money on the ground and returns it to them. Love now knows how hard it is to be a waiter, a bank teller, a customer service representative, a hotel desk clerk, an immigrant cab driver, and treats everyone with understanding and respect. Love holds the door open, puts the seat down, and makes room for one more. Love shares the last bite. Love buys individually wrapped chocolates and brings them onto a flight to give to the flight attendants, expecting no treatment or special treatment in return. If you've never done this, you should. You will be amazed at the effect this small act of kindness can have. Love cleans up the mess and then cleans it up again. Love does not envy. Love does not want what others have. Love does not see the world as a game where there are winners and losers and only so much to go around. Love believes in abundance. Love rejoices when others succeed and shares their joy. Love does not step on others to get ahead, but rather helps others step up. Love does not boast. Love does not take credit for its successes, but rather acknowledges all those who helped make success possible. Love does not rub its victories in other people's faces. Love uses its own talents and experiences to help those who are working, striving, and struggling. Love does not inflate numbers, details, or its own ego. Love takes comfort in a job well done and does not require the approval of friends, family, or bosses, or congregants. However, love does appreciate their compliments and heed their criticism. Love is not overwhelmed by hubris. You remember hubris from freshman high school English class? It's that excessive delusional pride that a Greek hero feels right before it falls. Love is not proud. Love is not boastful. Love does not surround itself with yes men and yes women to avoid criticism. Love does not let its ego get so inflated that it loses contact with reality, humanity, or its understanding of its capabilities and limitations. Love seeks self-improvement, but not perfection. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You know that feeling you get when someone says you are wrong, but you actually know that you are right, and then that person realizes that you are right and has to acknowledge that you are right, and you have that wonderful, full, proud, sort of smug sense of satisfaction? That is not love. Holding a grudge against a family member, although possibly necessary, is not love. If you delight in getting away with it, that is not love. Love does not harbor resentment. Love does not judge others to make itself feel better. Love does not bully, intimidate, or destroy. Love builds. Love connects. Love happens when people are honest with one another and truly listen. Love stays present in a conversation, even when it is awkward, even when it is uncomfortable, possibly even when it is offensive. Love endures through conflict, through fighting, and through silence. And love forgives. Love always protects. Love always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Sports dynasties end. And in some cases, begin again. Go Blackhawks. But even these dynasties will end. But love will persevere. Political parties will get elected and lose elections. They will rise and they will fall. Empires will be made and will be destroyed. Great powers will lose great power. But love will persevere. Churches will open and churches will close. The new way of doing it will become the way that we've always done it. Then a new way will emerge and it will come to an end. But love will persevere. Love never ends. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Before there was Jesus on earth, there was love. But with Jesus comes a whole new idea of love and a whole new importance of how to love. We no longer need to squabble like infants fighting over the last cookie. For now, through Jesus, we have matured in our faith. We have matured in our love. Through the life of Jesus, we have been known how to love as God loves. And that is something that we cannot unsee. So it is time to grow up and put our childish ways, our pettiness, our bickering behind us, and love as God loves. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Which brings us to our strawberries. So today, I'm going to invite you to take out your strawberry. And if you have a writing implement, get that out as well. If you don't have a writing implement, just raise your hand and we'll have one of the ushers bring one to you. And at the top of your strawberry, you can use your hymnals for a solid surface. They have multiple uses. At the top of your strawberry, write, "Love is." And then I'm going to invite you to fill that in with something that you believe love is. But I'm going to also instruct you to make it an action, not a feeling. Make it an action. Make it an action of something that you are willing to do to show love. To yourself, to others, to the world. And then we are going to, at the close of service, we're going to go and post them on our little tree outside. You see, our tree has beautiful leaves, but no fruit. And so these are going to be our fruit. These actions throughout our fruitful summer, we are going to have many things, many ways in which we can show our fruits of the Spirit. So today we are focusing on what love is. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.